This week's mailbag comes to us from Vanessa. Hi, Michelle. I had a Sunday basket moment last night, and this is a true story. I was standing in my kitchen with my husband as we were getting ready to go out for the evening. My youngest son comes in and asks where his library card was. Now, I haven't seen this card in months. I calmly said, check your slash pocket. He said, what? I said, go over to my Sunday basket and check the slash pocket with your name on it. He walked over, found his slash pocket, and looked through it. Sure enough, it was there. I thought, I just saved 45 minutes of my life. I would have had to search the 3 or 4 piles around my house and probably still wouldn't have found it because it would have been in a drawer or something. I would have been frustrated and felt like I had let my family down. Frustrated because I was disorganized. I didn't feel any of that thanks to the Sunday basket. Thanks, Lisa. I love my Sunday basket. Do you have an organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Welcome back. So glad to see that you're here the week after I talked about what makes me uniquely me, which is I was born in Ohio as a white woman, and that is my point of view. Today, we're going to talk about another point of view that we are born into, and that is our generation of origin. So if you've listened to me talk for a while, you know that I'm quasi-obsessed with generations. Definitely find it interesting. I've always loved big families, like Cheaper by the Dozen, John and Kate plus 8, the octuplets, like big families. Lots of babies all at one time, big family. I love big families. And my dad is from a big Irish Catholic family. And my mom is from a more smaller Protestant family. And having those two interactions constantly growing up allowed me to do a lot of questioning, a lot of observing, and draw a lot of conclusions. And as I got older and I reviewed the book Generations on my YouTube channel in January, it is definitely one of the books that has probably changed my thinking more than any other in how I view people. There are generations of people. I mean, you've heard of baby boomers, millennials, Gen X, like you've heard of these different generations. Maybe you have or have not done research about them. You probably identify with the one that you are or think about ones that you interact with on a regular basis. And I really want to talk about how do these generations get named? Who are they? How do they fall in our families? And then how does this impact us in the world and in our organizing? So first, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to define the generations. And all the way through millennial, these dates are pretty much in stone and everybody is agreeing with the dates of the generations. As you get below the age of 30, it's kind of harder to see where the actual final line is going to be drawn, dividing one generation from the next. So let's start with the oldest among us. Those people who are 96 to 110 years old are considered the greatest generation. So the greatest generation was born from 1910 to 1924. They were really shaped by the Great Depression, and they were the primary participants in World War II. After that, the next generation is the silent generation. The silent generation was born from 1925 to 1945. Those people today would be 75 years old to 95 years old. Then we have the baby boomers. Whoever, if you talk about generations, baby boomers and millennials come up. So baby boomers were born in 1946 to 1964, and they are the baby boom that happened after World War II ended. Those people are 56 to 74 years old right now. Next is Gen X. That's my generation. We are very rarely talked about. We are 41 to 55 years old. We were born between 1965 and 1979. Then we have the millennials, the next most talked about generation. They were born from 1980 to 1996, and they are 26 to 40 years old currently. Gen Z is the next generation born 1997 to 2012. They are between the ages of 8 and 25. And then finally, we have the alpha generation, which is 7 and younger, born in 2013 and beyond. As I go through those generations, there may be some that you've never heard of. Did you know that the silent generation is a thing? Or did you just think that the greatest generation became the baby boomers, became the millennials, and you skip over the silent generation, Gen X, and Gen Z? If you do, you're like everybody else out there. There are dominant and recessive generations. The silent generation, Gen X, and Gen Z are all recessive generations, meaning that the people inside of that cohort don't make a lot of change inside of society. They're kind of go with the flow kind of people, heads down, get the work done, make it through different generations. However, I'm sure push come to shove, I asked you to start naming people who are baby boomers or millennials, you could give me a long list. One of the things being a Gen Xer that kind of frustrates me, but I know is just basically going to be true, is we're probably never going to have a president that comes from our generation. Do you see the people running for president? They're all baby boomers or millennials. Like, Gen Xers are just busy doing the work, getting it done. Doesn't mean they're not in politics or they're not in high places in politics. It just means if you look at it, baby boomers and millennials are a little bit more apt to be in the limelight than a Gen X, a silent, or a Gen Z person, which I find so interesting. This is not something you can change about yourself. Every time I sit down to talk with millennials, I go, oh, you're a millennial. They go, no, I'm a zennial. I'm like, what is a zennial? So I'm looking it up. If you're born between 1976 to 1984, millennials are not claiming their millennialism. They're saying they are a zennial because they don't want to be a millennial. You know why they don't want to be a millennial? Because all of the millennial connotations are negative that are out there in the media. You know why? Because it's the baby boomers making up the connotation. You know why? Because they're not baby boomers. So each generation thinks that they have the answer, that they know what's next, that you should do it their way. And after reading the book Generations by Neil House and William Strauss and Neil Howe, well, you get the idea. I believe them in that there are four basic generations, and these generations keep cycling through. So I just listed for you seven generations, but they're really just four types of generations. The baby boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, but we can plug in the greatest generation, silent, and alpha into those same four categories. So let me show you how we do this. The oldest among us that are 96 to 110 years old are the greatest generation. Those are the ones that went off to war. They made a lot of civic change. They worked for the better good of others. They are the same generational archetype as the millennials. Are you a little happier now, millennials? Like, you are the current greatest generation. You have the same characteristics and attributes of those people who have come before you. Now, the silent generation, which is Greg's mom and my grandparents, the silent generation, they were a smaller generation. They were born between, well, they were born in 20 years, but they were smaller by population. And you'll notice that these recessive generations like Gen X, silent, Gen Z, they are smaller. There are less people that are actually born during that time. One of the things my grandmother said was, yeah, there weren't very many of us in school. And yes, I was raised during the Great, like I went to school during the Great Depression. She said, but it really wasn't that bad. She said, because all the class sizes were smaller and we got all the help that we needed because there just weren't that many people around. So there are benefits to being in this smaller population, just like there are benefits to being in the larger one. And the silent generation that is currently 75 to 95 years old is the same point of view as Gen Z, which is currently 8 to 25 years old. This is why if you are 8 to 25 and you really gel with your grandparents who are 75 to 95 years old, it's because you think like they do. You have the same worldly point of view. You see the world the same way, even though you're separated by 80 years in age. Then next, we have baby boomers. And the baby boomers, who are currently 56 to 74 years old, no, is that right? Yes, 56 to 74 years old, are the same generational makeup as the babies that are being born today that are 0 to 7. I had done some research before, and I was like, why is it that you just are like oil and water with your parents and your kids? Like getting my kids to do something or getting my parents to understand me is like, you know, you got to go in the ring and you got to go multiple rounds. Whereas if I would talk to grandma, like she totally understood me. Like, why is it so much easier to talk to your grandparents? Or as a grandparent, how come it's so much easier to talk to your grandchildren? And it often is because you are in a similar generational makeup. If not the same exact generation separated by 80 years, then you are in the generational makeup of being a recessive or dominant generation in general. So greatest generation, baby boomer, millennial, we are all dominant generations. Silent, Gen X, and Gen Z are all recessive generations. Dominant generations, baby boomer and millennial specifically, those are the two I'll talk about right now, make change. They make things happen. They shake things up. They're very like, let's get her done. Like bring it to the table. Like, I've had it. No more of this. We're going to make a change. But they make a different kind of change. So the kind of change that the baby boomer generation made was an idealistic change, more of a prophetic change. They were the ones that brought in really big corporate America. I have the answer. Follow me. I know what we're supposed to do. Get behind me. And we did. The kind of difference that the greatest generation, that the millennial generation is currently making, is more of a civic change. It's more of the hero, like we together collectively are going to make this change. So it's both, it changes society a lot, but in a different way. The two recessive types of generations, which is Gen Z and Gen X, Gen X is going to be a more reactive generation and a more nomadic generation, and Gen Z is going to be a more adaptive generation and a more artistic generation. We're going to see a lot of great arts coming out of the people who are currently 8 to 25 years old. Okay, so I know I've given this explanation before about these different generations, how they follow through. Generations is a really thick book. It's a really meaty, nerdy book that I love. I think I might need to go read it again. It's not one you can find on Audible. You have to actually read it. I just love learning all about these generations. So as I was thinking about this March podcast series and talking about how, what are the things that are our point of view that we cannot change, race, the religion we're born into, the generation we're born into, I was like, okay, I want to really dive into this generation issue. And I'm going to look at it comparing my mother's family to my father's family and Greg's family. And I found some interesting things about these generations. And when I explain these, then you will be able to find your family in one of these three. And then that may help you also in understanding the different generations. On my mother's side, they didn't have many babies, but they had them quickly. So most of the people on my mother's side, I didn't know my mother's father's side very well. He died at the age of 49, and my grandmother remarried before my parents got married and before I was born. So my grandfather that I know on my mother's side is a different family, but also in that family, I noticed this as well. This family tended to find their spouse, get married, and have a child within, you know, the very early 20s. They didn't have a lot of children, though. So my great-grandma and Grandpa Green had one child, my grandmother, and they had her when they were like 21, 22. And then my grandmother had two children, two girls, and she had them when she was in her early 20s. And then my mom got married at 21 or 22 and had me at 22 or 23, so in her early 20s. And then I got married at 24, and I would have had a baby right away if I could have. My babies came at 28 and 29 through the blessing of adoption. And because every single person in that generational lineage got married very early and started having their family very young, even though they didn't have very many children, almost every single generation is represented. And I knew my great-grandparents on my mother's side. Like, when I was born, I think I had 6 great-grandparents living, 2 on my dad's side and I think all of them on my mom's side. Like, a lot. How many people have that many great-grandparents, right? It's because everybody replicated so fast. Like, they just had people so fast. So my great-grandparents were the greatest generation, and my grandma was the silent generation, and my mom and her sister were baby boomers, and then my sister and I are Gen X. And then my children are the oldest of the Gen Z, but if I had had them when I first got married, they would have been the youngest of the millennials. So because our family got married early and had babies early, all of those different generations are represented. And I saw them all at Thanksgiving dinner because they live into their 90s. So I was able to interact with generations way above and way below mine and just kind of observe because I was one of those very observant children. Now, my dad's family is huge. I mean, like, there are people everywhere, and it's a big Irish Catholic family, and those families were big. And I don't know the exact dates, and I don't know all of the details, but my great-grandmother and my great-grandfather came over from Ireland in, I think, the 30s, 40s. And they both were from very large families, like 11 to 13 children. I think they were in the middle. And then they had 6 children here in the United States. And of those 6 children, my dad's mom was, I think, the youngest girl, or maybe the youngest one. And then my dad is her oldest child, and my dad is the oldest of 6 children. And then all of those children did not have 6 children. But of those 6 children, I'm trying to do the math real quick. Most of them had 2 or 3. They had enough children. So in that family, my great-grandmother lived to be 103 on my mom's side. My grandmother was 94. Her mother was 92. And the grandpa that my grandma married before I was born lived to be 103 as well. So we have a lot of lineage inside of our family. So I was able to see multiple generations for a long time. Now, what's interesting on my dad's side of the family, while the families were very large, the way that they had children actually kind of stair-stepped the generations, so to speak. So I don't know which generation my great-grandparents were in, but my dad's parents, based on some rudimentary math I just did, is I think his mom and dad were the very oldest of the silent generation. They were either the very youngest or the very oldest of the greatest generation and the silent generation. And then my dad was the very oldest of the baby boom generation, and all of his siblings were. So from my dad all the way through all 6 kids, they all were born in that baby boom, those 6 kids. But because my dad is 12 or 14 years older than his youngest sibling, what happened was my dad and his oldest sister got married right away. Because remember, like on my mom's family, got married right away and had their children in their early 20s. And because they did that, my sister and I and a couple of my cousins are all Gen Xers. But then his 4 other siblings got married either later in life or due to circumstances, had their children a little bit later in life, and all of their children are millennials. So even though my dad and his siblings are all baby boomers, my cousins are split between Gen X and millennials. And this is so interesting to me because this didn't happen as much on my mom's side as it did on my dad's side. And on my dad's side, there is just this definite different point of view that my younger cousins have than those of us that were born in the 70s. Now, on my dad's side, my grandmother remarried my grandfather, and he had 2 boys, and those boys had children also. And so my mom and one of her half-brothers, siblings, myself and my sister and 2 of my cousins are Gen Xers. And then my mom's sister and her half-brother had children that are millennials. And so when we would get together on family events, all of my aunts and uncles were baby boomers on my mom's side and my dad's side, my mom and her sister and my grandpa's children, which when I was younger, I didn't even realize that we weren't blood related. You know what I mean? It wasn't until genealogy that I realized this. And they all had a very similar point of view. You know, they're all born in the same area, all the same race, all the same generation, a lot of similarities. Very similar in their political thoughts, But with my cousins on both sides, and this is why I think I was so interested in this, I would have cousins that were of my generation where we clicked and we understood and we had similar thoughts. And then our younger cousins would have different thoughts than we did, different point of views of the world. They were being raised differently also. Like, I was like, how is it that Emily and I were raised this way, but our younger cousins were raised differently? And Gen X was raised very independently. Like, we were the latchkey children, you know, make your bed, do your stuff, figure it out, do it on your own, go out and play. Whereas the millennial cousins among me were like, all right, well, let's do it collectively and let's try this. And their parents were very involved in everything they were doing. No right or wrong, but like, if I wanted to do volleyball or something, like, I had to get a ride. Like, when I was in high school and I wanted to do something, and my school was like 30 minutes away, and our public school cut busing in order to pass the levy, and my mom didn't want to drive downtown where my private school, I went to St. Vincent St. Mary in Akron. So she would drive me to the mall and I would get on public transportation and I took the bus, the metro downtown. I didn't think anything of this. Like, our generation wouldn't think anything of this. If you say that to somebody who is raising a millennial today, it'll be like, I cannot believe you would put your child on public transportation to go down to school. Like, you drive your child to school. Like, I spent 25 hours when my kids were in high school driving my kids places. My parents didn't drive me any place. If I wanted to do something after school, that's fine. I was allowed to do whatever I wanted as long as I could figure out how to get a ride. And I'm not saying this negatively. It just was a fact. That's not how millennials were raised. Like, if they wanted to do something, they went out, they got the outfit, and their parent got them to practice. Not only that, their parent showed up at every game. Again, I'm not judging, but I played volleyball for I don't even know how many years. Now, granted, I mostly warmed the bench. I did not play very many games. I think my parents came to 2 games ever, and I played for multiple years. My children, we went to every single practice, every game, every everything. Like, if I was going to sit in the car and go through paperwork, it was like I was shunned by the other parents because I should be sitting there on the bench watching practice. Like, it was just a different generation. And so watching my cousins be parented more as millennial children were parented versus, you know, I know, Gen Xers, we got a chip on our shoulder. So it's kind of large because we're like, dang, we didn't realize we could have gotten that, because we couldn't have, because it's not the generation we were in. It's just a point of view. So as I was running through all of my family, I was like, oh, I wonder how Greg's family stacks up to this. And so just looking at Greg, I was like, oh, this makes so much sense. So Greg is 5 years older than me. He is the very oldest of Gen X, the Gen X generation. His mom is one of the youngest of the silent generation, and our children are the very oldest of Gen Z. It's all recessive generations in his family. So when he would go, or we have, you know, Christmas and everybody comes over, everyone at the table, we don't have a baby boomer or a millennial or an alpha among us. Every single one is silent generation, Gen X, or Gen Z. And being all recessive generations, a lot of the world is happening to us. So when I have family dinner at Greg's, it's what decisions have baby boomers made? What decisions have millennials made that are shaping our nation? And how are reacting? How are we reacting, responding, and adapting to the changes that are being made to our lives based on other generations? Interesting, isn't it? Did I tell you I'm a questioner? I like to think really big thoughts. So that's what I want to leave you with today. Why does this matter to you? Why does the generation that you're born into matter? Through this discussion, maybe now you understand more why, if you're in a big family or there's a big age gap between you and your sibling, that you just have a different point of view of the world. Or when you look at all of your cousins and there's a big age gap or differences, you just might look at the world differently. Now, let's pull this around to organizing. This is something that I said in the very first book that I published, The Mindset of Organization. Why does this generational point of view matter? This generational point of view matters because when we are in our house and we are looking at our physical stuff, every one of these generations has a point of view on stuff. The silent generation grew up during the Great Depression. The stuff they have is really nice, and they were very purposeful in what they got, and they know it can all go away tomorrow. And so my grandmother, everything that she kept was really nice stuff, and she was very frugal with her money, and she was very purposeful with the purchases she made because she knew it could all be gone tomorrow. The baby boomers in my family, they just have a lot of everything. They just have a lot. That generation is always going to have a lot. There are a lot of them. They have a lot of ideas. They grew up with plenty. They have always had plenty. It's been, other than 2008, it's been a really nice ride for the baby boomers, basically. There's always been material possessions available for them. What they did in the 80s and 90s was greatly rewarded economically. They have a lot of political power. They own a lot of companies. They're just a very rich materially, financially generation. And so when they look around and they have a lot of stuff, they go, okay, well, I could downsize to a glorious condo that looks fabulous. I mean, they're like, not like downsizing to an apartment. Like, they have stuff and they like their stuff. Then you have Gen X, which is me. We're just kind of in the middle. And then you have millennials. And millennials are much more interested in experiences. They have a lot of student loan debt. They've come of age during a time where it was harder to get jobs. Now, what's interesting is I listened to economists recently, and they said that the millennials have it better than any generation ever has, as far as their wages for coming into the workforce and the opportunities that are available to them. So some of it is what the media has been telling us. Don't always listen to what the media has been telling you. But millennials are very interested in experiences, and I'm frankly jealous. Like, I know a lot of millennials have delayed getting married, have delayed having children, have opted not to have children at all. And they're very cognizant of, you know, this could all be gone tomorrow. And so I want to have what I want to have, and I want to have it now. I want to travel the world. I want to go on this vacation. I want to, you know, have these experiences, and I'm willing to invest in those instead of investing in a house and this, that, or the other thing. Don't worry. Millennials are getting cars and houses and jobs and settling down just like every other generation has. They just did it in a reverse order. They're having their children later. They're making a priority spending time with people versus amassing physical objects. I'm not judging. I'm just observing. The problem comes then when a baby boomer who has physical stuff that they love tries to give physical stuff to a millennial who has experiences that they love, and they feel trapped by physical possessions, and a baby boomer feels rejected that you don't want the thing that they worked hard to earn and to give you. And so that is the conversation. That's the point of view we want to talk about, is like, how do we view the world? How do we view our stuff? How do we view our legacy? And then how do we pass on those memories and our legacy and those moments onto the next generation in a way that is empowering and affirming to them and not put upon and guilt-ridden? And so I know in a lot of the podcasts, I cover that as well. So hopefully this has helped you with what generation you're in, the other generations that are represented in your family, how that applies to your stuff and where you are living. And next week, dive into an even juicier topic, religion.